When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I asked for Christmas music for the final rejoins. Last one we got Five Finger Death Punch. And now he's scrambling. All right. The great Mike Milbury joins the show, and he's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, Perfecting the Art of Fresh. By FindMassMoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market, Boston showcases the best of the city all under one roof. Good morning, Mike.
Curtis, I'm going to warn you, just do not be surprised if he's not here, because we're having a little bit of technical problem here, but we'll see. Mike?
Why would... Okay, just tell me that, then I don't introduce him. Okay, so we don't know if he's on. Have we connected?
He can jump in anytime. Yeah. Feel free to speak in any time.
Okay.
Not much to say about the Bruins anyway. I mean,
right. What is it?
Why is it always a
straight
fire drill? Oh, my goodness.
It's all right.
Anyway, so while we wait for Mike Milbury, I was curious to know if you guys believe you spend more or less without going to malls, where everything is done with the strike of a finger. You don't have to go driving anywhere. Christmas shopping, you could get it done in an hour and not even get in your car. Do you think we buy more or less stopping going to the malls?
Is that number?
I buy more. Yeah.
I do everything online.
Yeah, I buy way more when it comes to online. I was at a mall yesterday, and I was like, you know, in the mood to shop a bit. Wanted to get some outfits for next week. Couldn't find anything. Was in every store that I could imagine at my fingertips. And then you have to think about, like, oh, do I want to go to a dressing room, try things on? Mm. So it's online.
See, I do everything online. And then there's this, like, Jordan Craig is where I is my clothing apparel guy.
You guys have a microphone on in there.
Yeah, well, Jordan Craig is my clothing apparel place. So I know exactly, like, what my jean size are and, like, my sweatshirts and that kind of thing. So I know, like, I'm a 2X.
Yeah.
So when I see stuff. But everything I do, Amazon and online.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike Milbury joins us on the phone. Ken Laird, good morning. Mike, great to hear from you. How are you today?
I'm okay. Sun's shining. I'm still erect, and I'm ready to go for a trip to New York for Christmas.
Oh, what are you doing in New York?
Whatever we want. We're going to shop and have a good meal and then go to my mother-in-law's in Poughkeepsie for, you know, for Christmas Day.
Oh,
Mike, you're a local celeb. Can you get a reservation at the corner store and tell me how it is? Because I've been trying every time I go to New York. No go.
No, I mean, there are a couple places there that are just impossible to get reservations to. And you know, I've been trying to do, we go to this place called Il Tonello on Christmas Eve every year, and it's spectacular Italian restaurant. But, you know, I was trying to do something a day before that, and I got shut out. So my celebrity status doesn't work there.
Oh. I saw this story yesterday about Marchand possibly, when he's done playing, going on TNT doing the player to the booth media role. What do you think about Marchand's ability to be a interesting media member one day?
You know, he's playing pretty well now. I think he should stay focused on that. I don't know if he really wants to do the TNT thing, but I you know, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. He's pretty quick, and he might be pretty good at it, but they need him to be focused on what he's doing right now, which is going pretty good for him right now.
Mike, one of the things that we've kind of talked about, and it's good you bring up Brad Marchand, is like whether or not this team is a buyer or seller at the trade deadline. And it seems like Marchand still wants to play a few more years. And I know it's always a sticky situation on whether or not you like figure out where you are as a team, and do you potentially move a guy like that, or do you say we want to keep him and re-sign him? If you're the GM of this team, what are you doing?
You know, he's in a different category because he's been such a warrior for so long. It's like you're talking about, not quite in the Brady category, but you're talking about somebody who's been around and has been a leader and a winner for the team and the franchise for many years. So you need to consult with him, but does anybody that I'm talking to right now think that this Bruins team has a chance to win a Stanley Cup?
No.
I'd be surprised. And so they need changes, and their changes are really focused for me, and I've mentioned this before a couple of times, in the middle. They don't have enough ability in the center position to give anybody any kind of pause for them going deep into the playoffs. I mean, Elias Lindholm has got 4 goals now, and a fluky one he got in Calgary the other day, which is great. But you know, he got his points when he was playing in Calgary with Matthew Tkachuk or Johnny Gaudreau. Look, you know, when you're trying to evaluate a center, you have to evaluate who the guy is playing with. And he's got to be able to make other guys around him better. I think he was made better by the people that he played with, and that's what's been revealed. So the Bruins aren't going deep into the playoffs. It looks like they've, you know, they're in a season where the teams behind them are not really that threatening. The Rangers, I thought, were going to be a really good team, and aren't. Tampa Bay is still trying to figure out how to retool themselves, and there's a bunch of other, you know, teams behind them that just don't seem to have it straight. So the Bruins look like they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to do any serious damage. And to answer your question, Wiggy, finally, I don't know what they do at that point. They have to have a conversation with Marchand if they really want to trade him, if they get something special. I think they should explore all avenues to get better in the long run, and not just for this season, because this season looks to me to be, you know, okay. No, we're doing okay. I got to give them credit. They bounced back after the coaching change and have shown some spark and some fight, but I don't believe in them as a contender.
Well, Mike, you bring up needing help when it comes to center. Why not call up a guy like Matt Patra, who 7 games straight for Providence scoring a goal?
You know, that's a good question. I have no answer to that. I mean, he looked like he had some pop in his game when he was here originally, and then he got hurt in his first season, and then he couldn't find his rhythm. Now maybe it's time to give him a shot, because they really don't have much to lose by doing that. Either Patra or anybody else who's in the minor leagues and seems to be on a hot streak. So it's a good point.
So Courtney has been on this from the beginning, and I think, you know, the longer Swayman goes this season with numbers that are far worse than what he had last year, the more the questions will raise about just how important a direct split with Linus was for his success. Where are you on Swayman today?
I think the contract negotiation was problematic for him. I don't think he handled it very well. I don't think the Bruins handled it very well. I think he's gotten off to a rough start, and sometimes an unlucky start with a team that's trying to find its way. I think he's been better. I'm still a big believer in Swayman. I think he's at 25 or 6 or whatever he is now. He should be able to handle a 60 to 65 a season schedule. And if he can't, yikes.
Mike, when you continue to look at the power play and some of the struggles that they have, When do they get into the position of, all right, maybe we change up kind of the scheme, what we're trying to do? Is there a way to be more aggressive on the power play when you want to change things up?
You know, the offense usually relates to skilled players. They have, you know, at least on the first unit, enough skilled players to get it done. And they have enough players in the second unit to be, you know, basically okay. But I think a power play is best. And I actually think Joe Sacco said it. He wants them to be less predictable. And really what you want is for the whole thing to be free form. You move wherever you need to go in order to get open. Don't be predictable, but have a few concepts in mind. Like somebody should be in front of the net to screen the goaltender. Somebody should be near the slot, but it should be a constantly moving, you know, free form formation, so that you can't be categorized and static in one form or another and easy to defend. That's where skill comes in, and it comes in with movement, puck movement, and skating movement, and then an unpredictability that leads to some pretty good chances, I think. And that's when it's really fun. When the power play is good, it's like there's no straight form that you're looking at. There's no ABC kind of rules that you follow. It's just completely unpredictable.
Mike, I'm sure you saw it, but Spit and Chicklets had Brett Hull on last week, and they told a story about how you made an Islanders team bag skate after a bad loss. They were joking about it. Is that just a completely different era when it comes to how coaches dealt with teams back then than we see now?
Yeah, no. Today I have to, you know, find them a bowl of ice cream or something after a bad loss.
Are we ever going back to the way it was, or is it just too far?
No, it's just, I mean, it's just going to be a solid memory for me.
But
it's too bad. You should be able to hold people accountable in a firm way. I think that it worked. And people were, you know, Mm-hmm. I mean, people were afraid of Bill Parcells and afraid of Belichick. Now there's no fear. It's just like, you know, just stick a middle finger up to a guy that gives you a hard time.
So what do you think the issue is? Because we have this conversation all the time, you know, whether it's in football, other sports, and we talked about it with Bruce Cassidy. Is it the fact that the organization, and when I say organization, like the GMs and the presidents, give the player too much power when it comes to maybe contract and money status for them to have that ability to kind of like, you know, toot their finger up at the coach that is a little bit more aggressive and on their ass?
Yeah, it's a social thing, isn't it? It's a cultural thing across the planet, certainly across the USA, where, you know, you know when you can't spank a child, you can't yell at a kid in the classroom, you can't do something that would be construed as, you know, corporal punishment of some kind, or even verbal punishment of some kind. And the players making so much money do have power. It's shifted. And the, you know, I don't know how to figure this all out with you. I wish I could, but I liked it better when you walked in the room as a coach and there was some gravitas there. There was some fear. There was some respect for the guy that was making the calls. And now it's just, well, he's just another guy in the room, and, you know, they'll fire him and we'll bring in a new guy. It's a different, you know, you have to use your powers of persuasion rather than, you know, your powers as a guy that should be respected and responded to. It's just a different era, and why it came about, I don't know, but, makes it much tougher for a coach.
Well, I remember when I played, and one thing that we always had was the in-locker room police, and for us it was a guy like Willie McGinnis.
And the
coach allowed that in-locker room policing of guys that you respected but you also feared. Was it like that as a player for you, and was it also like that as you as a coach, where you might have put guys in position of leadership that could lead by fear where, like, all right, this guy might punch me in the mouth if I don't fall in line.
Yeah, no, there was certainly was a pecking order when I played. And I never as a coach would put somebody in that position, but you would find people to be in that position, and you'd sort of not curry favor with them, but encourage them to do what they did best, which is be a little bit of a strong arm guy. And I think it, you know, when I played, when I first got into the league and I walked into the locker room and over in a corner was Orr and Esposito, I was like, I can't say anything to these people. I just have to, you know, if they want me to tie their skates, I will. I mean, that was the response of somebody who was a rookie, and I wasn't the only one. And O'Reilly took over for them, and, like, if he was pissed off, boy, he didn't want to get in his way, I'll tell you. And so it was an easy thing for the coach to manipulate, or not manipulate, but utilize as a tool. And then he had his own, you know, his own powers of persuasion, I guess. But those things are, it's a different ball game now, a totally different ball game, and it's a much more difficult ball game for the coach. So it's, you know, I don't envy their position, and their tools are fewer in the tool bag.
All right, Mike. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you after the holiday.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you. That's
we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Mike. See ya. Take care. That's Mike Milbury, and here's Courtney Cox with What's Trending. I am just so grateful for Thanksgiving.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I have Greg texting me laughing about the state of affairs. But I am so grateful for Christmas. I'm so grateful for James. I'm so grateful for you guys.
What does James want from Santa this year?
Well, Papa got him an Audi, and I was like, no, I'm just kidding. he, honestly, anything music-related. So I got him a... earmuffs, James. I got him a musical caterpillar thing because he's really into the Hungry Hungry Caterpillar.
Cool.
His favorite book, and it's like plays different. I haven't put it together. He'll probably put it together, but that's under the tree. He's got my Uncle George, who is a brilliant man, double doctorate.
Wow.
UVA, got a law degree from University of Chicago.
All right.
He was on the Obama-appointed Securities and Exchange Commission that called and arrested Madoff.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Nailed it.
That's what he did. If you keep playing those, Jackson, I don't care if we ever go to Milbury. You're in good graces.
I just love when it's the holidays, and mm-hmm. obviously the presents are not what is important, but I love when I have a year where I'm really excited about the gifts I'm giving.
Ooh.
And I nailed it this year. Like, right. I just,
for Santo?
For Santo, my parents.
What about Harry?
My cousin. Harry usually gets a lot of treats bones from Santa, but my parents usually right. spoil Harry.
Well, make sure James gets his list together for Santa.
Right.
Nailed it, yeah. Patriots!
Let's go, Patriots. Yeah. Sorry, James.
You know, I made sure that, you know, sometimes if they're not in the ability to write down what they want, you do the video and then you obviously text it to Santa and, you know, hopefully Santa will bring him the gifts that he potentially is looking
for. And I heard
for.
Talina was a good girl this year, so she better Ooh. Be getting everything she wants from Santa.
Well, every day is Christmas for her. So, I mean, that's the great thing about it. As the kids get older, all you got to really do is give them cash,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, right. you know, they like a few things here, whether it's a pair of sneakers. But as they get older, you know, it's their list to Santa generally becomes a little bit easier. Yeah. So
I'm in the odd stage right now where James has got, he's been throwing up a lot. He's got some flu thing. I don't know what it is, but the strangest thing is, so he gets sick and then he feels so much better and he's like darting everywhere. And you're like, I need to clean this up. What are you doing? And then it's like every 2 hours. So I don't know whether it's like a virus, but if you have any illness remedies for two-year-olds that are barfing all over the place, let me know.
Oh, yep. God.
But let's, in the Christmas spirit, I'm going to talk to a guy that really gets me in the good mood. That is Steve in Fall River. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm going to bring you back to your happy days. The first thing I want to say is that the Buffalo Bills, remember that organization, the 3-31 that Brady hung on him. And one of the wins was a Drew Bledsoe Malloy. So they really only won two games in all those years. So they're going to wipe us out, and they're just going to do it, and they're going to do it at the end of the season, too. As far as that Super Bowl, that was very transformative, Wiggy. At that Snow Bowl, I actually brought a kid to the game. It was his first game. We said after the game, "How'd you like the game?" "Oh, it's the first one I ever went to." We said, "Don't go to any more. Do not go to any more. This is the only game you're ever going to need to go to." Wiggy had a catch in the Snow Bowl behind his head with one hand, by the way. It was truly amazing. I'm thankful for the kid that Jay, who allowed me not to leave. I was going to leave because it was very snowy and wet snow, and I was woefully underdressed. But at the Super Bowl, when the timeout occurred, there was a long timeout before you guys took the field, Wiggy. I was on the 40-yard line, and I was pacing up and down because I remembered 86. I said, "Oh, my God, we were up 17-3. This is 86. Oh, there's no way this is going to happen." Did not know what the commentator said, John Madden. John Madden was an idiot. That was the worst thing ever. Because everybody and their brother, you people on TV, watched on TV, knew it. The Patriots defense was gassed. One more trip.
All right. Thanks, Steve. I don't know where we're going with that. But, yeah, great night all around. We've been reliving it because Wiggy was how do we even get into it? We were talking about what that game meant, and I was talking about who
comparison
would be a bigger,
about.
So you guys think, so what would be a bigger shock, Patriots winning this Sunday or that game?
I personally think it was that game because, like I said, they had won a Super Bowl a year before. They were the greatest show on turf. They, at that point in time, they had set all types of offensive records, and we were a good football team. I think the disparity of a great football team with Hall of Famers everywhere and the Rams losing to a good football team, even though it was a Super Bowl and we had proven we could beat some teams, I think the disparity between a good Buffalo Bills team now and a bad New England team, we see it all the time, bad teams knock off good teams.
Regular season upsets happen all the time.
Right. Yeah. And listen, Josh Allen is an elite talent, but man, what if he goes out there and throws two interceptions? And so I just think the disparity of the great team versus a good 0-1 Patriots team versus the good 2024 Buffalo Bills to the bad 2024 New England Patriots, I don't think that gap is as wide when it comes to maybe potentially an upset, because I don't think anybody thought that we would upset the Rams. Where I mean, you know, you might have a few people go,
"Who the hell thinks the Patriots are going to win this weekend?"
I don't think there's
Shime.
Shime
said he wouldn't be surprised.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Maybe
be,
that was the start. Of
I guess.
Illness.
I guess I would say this: would it shock you?
Yes,
it would shock.
If the Patriots won on Sunday, I would be. It would be like Greg pre-Lindsay showing up with Emily Ratajkowski at a Christmas party.
All right.
So
see, I wouldn't be shocked because I could see the Bills losing to a bad team because we've seen that all the time. I would have been more shocked. More people would have been like shocked that the Patriots were able to beat the greatest show on turf. But that's just me, though.
All right. Well, it's time for a game I've concocted here in honor of Jackson, who's been throwing a perfect game, so let's not ruin it here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I need to have some music here, game show music, 617-779-7937. You're going to take on Jackson without taking him on. I'm going to tell you something about someone, and you need to guess if I'm discussing Jesus Christ or Jackson Burns. They're very similar. Both have traveled a long way to get here. Both are living a dream, doing what they can to help others. And in honor of Christmas, we don't put the X in Christmas here, Courtney. I hope you know that.
Yep.
We are devout Catholics. Christ belongs in Christmas. So if you want to take Jackson on, 617-779-7937. Worst show. I have a question. I was going to do this earlier while we're waiting for callers here. Best and worst thing you watched on TV this year. I'll start. The worst thing I watched was that god-awful Affleck movie about City Hall with, is it Ben Affleck directed it? Matt Damon, Casey Affleck were in it.
Apple TV. That was probably
the
my
Investigator?
Worst.
No.
It was like, it was supposed to be like The Town.
The bank robbing
movie?
That wasn't it. Now, why don't? Well, why am I thinking the Investigators or something like that? I know that's wrong, though.
It was the Instigators.
Instigators.
Good job, Wiggs.
I knew I was close. I couldn't remember what it was.
All right. Well, we're starting off here. Jeez, people love taking on Jackson. My goodness. Good morning, Colin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. What are you up to for Christmas? Anything good?
No, nothing.
Oh, good. My kind of guy. All right. You need to tell me if I'm describing Jesus Christ or Jackson Burns.
Yeah.
This person pulled a near stranger out of a years-long depression with one simple conversation.
Jackson.
Yes! Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Absolutely phenomenal. We're one for one. Let's go to Dan in Hartford. Love the Nutmeg State. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
I'm great. You need to tell me if I'm describing Jackson Burns or Jesus Christ. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
This person traveled 60 miles to save a bird's life.
I would say Jackson.
Yes!
Wow! Jackson.
Absolutely remarkable.
Saved I love a bird's birds. Life?
Yes. Yeah, it was lying in the middle of the highway, not the highway, but like an off-ramp, and I took it home in a box and then traveled 60 miles to a wildlife facility and had it treated.
All right, here we go. Tyler in Andover, how are you?
Good, you?
Oh, I'm great. How you doing? What are you guys doing for the holiday? Anything good? You traveling, staying local?
Staying local.
Oh, smart move. All right, Tyler. Good. I need you to tell me if this is Jesus Christ or Jackson Burns. You ready?
Yeah.
This person fed thousands of strangers.
Jackson.
It's Jackson and Jesus.
Wow.
Wow. Jackson works for Grubhub or DoorDash.
No, I deliver pizza for like 10 years, too, yeah.
And Jesus, I mean, famously, mm-hmm. You know.
Turned water into wine.
I mean, where was he about 15 years ago? I would have loved that guy. Let's go to Justin. Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I am great. All right. Am I discussing Jesus Christ or Jackson Burns? This person walked on water.
That's got to be just Jesus Christ.
Good job. Can't get anything past you, Justin. Well
I fall done. In rivers. I don't walk on water.
There you go.
All righty. Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Not too much. I have a question. Was
okay.
This Jesus Christ or Jackson Burns? This person
All right, go ahead.
Brought a dead animal back to life.
That would have to be Jackson.
Yes!
No!
Nailed it! Jackson, I mean, I'm just taking Jackson's word for these, so wow. Who the hell knows?
Well, when I was a little kid, I had sea monkeys, and I dropped the whole thing, and they all were all over the floor, but if sea monkeys, if they dry quick enough, you can relive, they can come back to life.
Wow!
They can relive. Wow. All right. Oh. Dave, New Hampshire, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
All right, you need to tell me if this is Jackson Burns or Jesus Christ. Are you ready?
I am ready.
This person nearly single-handedly ruined the Mike Milbury interview.
I don't remember this at Sunday school, so I'm going to say Jackson.
Nailed it. Absolutely. All right, last one. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, good. Happy holidays, guys.
You too. This person was able to cure a migraine with a simple phone call.
Oh, my God, that's definitely Jackson.
Nailed it. Jackson Burns, the man, the myth, the legend. Unbelievable. So I need you to hear this. So when did you travel 60 miles to save a bird's life?
That was about 15 years ago. It was in the...
No, I know why. Like, what was the What was the impetus behind it?
I didn't want to see the bird get, you know, die. And I felt responsible for it because I picked it up, brought it home, and I was trying to nurse it back to health, but it needed more care than I could offer. And so my buddy and I took a drive to the wildlife place, I think, in Weymouth. And
Oh, so you had a bird and you brought it to there. I thought you traveled to find a bird.
Same.
To save it.
No. I found a bird on the hot side of the street, and then that's, you know.
And whose funeral did you preside over?
Dogs. My dog, Cliff.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day.
Well, that's Jackson. our own international man of mystery and Jesus, people that are often forgotten, are often confused for one another. We will wrap up.
I just wanted to ask Jackson, because you talked about the fiance yesterday. I hope that everything's fine at home. Have you finished your Christmas shopping?
I have not finished my Christmas shopping, but I do know what I'm getting her. And things went a little bit haywire this morning again, because apparently I was flatulent and snoring again last night. So,
but what are you eating before bed?
I don't know, man. Yeah.
You should know what you eat before bed.
I had ziti Alfredo.
Like, what time are you
eating?
Okay,
so don't have ziti Alfredo.
Well, I mean, I had it for dinner.
Are you eating at, like, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, 5 or 6.
All right, maybe take you some, like, you know, things that can help you with your stomach.
Yeah, I got to
go. 7. What time you go to bed?
Like, 10:30-ish.
All right, so that's
10:30?
I mean, last night I did, but I usually go earlier.
Should be enough time to be able to eat, digest, and, you know, deal with the gas problems.
Do people tip more for DoorDash in the holiday season?
I don't know. I haven't really done it much these days. I haven't done it since, like, the fall.
All right. Well, College Tom says yes. All right. We'll wrap this up next right here on the Greg Hill List, Greg Hill Show. All right. So wrapping it up here today. I have to say, I enjoyed Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
I thought there were some interesting nuggets in there. The biggest takeaway for me was the anger he felt towards the reporting about his relationship with Bill Belichick, which clearly was misrepresented. I do find it interesting what Bears does if Bears stays at BC or goes to North Carolina.
I think he stays.
Yeah,
I think he's put a lot of work, especially into the future of this team under Bill O'Brien. I think his loyalty is going to be with Bill O'Brien right now.
And I bet that, like, Bill's Bears is now Mike Lombardi.
Well, but he's the GM.
But I think, like, you know, I think that's kind of, it might be, the roles might be a little bit different, but I think, you know, when you think of Bears, you think of Bill's right-hand man. So maybe he might not be doing the, you know, football recruiting stuff like Lombardi's doing, but I feel like he's Billy O'Brien's right-hand man, and I feel like Mike Lombardi, even though he's doing the football recruiting stuff, is kind of like Bill's right-hand man.
Yeah.
So I don't think he leaves.
If you missed it, you can go back on the Odyssey app or at EEI.com or wherever you get your podcasts and hear the Billy O'Brien interview in its entirety. I enjoy it every week. I think it's the best interview we do. I've been giving out locks in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now being, you know, beckoned for them.
All right.
Because they've been so successful. And it pains me to do this. Can we get the updated? So Notre Dame is tomorrow night.
Yep.
I think they're 7-point favorites at home.
They are, let's tell you right now, Notre Dame is, yes, you're right. They are minus 7.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
The Fighting Irish.
All right.
They're going to win by more than a touchdown.
Okay.
They're at home. I think Marcus Freeman has quietly really made the best out of that situation with Notre Dame. It looks like he's a better coach than Brian Kelly, who's imploded in Baton Rouge. I, obviously, not a Notre Dame guy, but sneaky dark horse to make a run at this thing, and I don't see it being a one-touchdown game against Indiana. They either lose and get upset at home,
all right,
or they win by 2 touchdowns. So I would put my lock on Notre Dame. Was it tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
And then the other 3 games are on Saturday. Do you want them?
Yeah, let's hear them.
So 12 o'clock will be SMU at Penn State. Penn State is minus 8.5.
Ooh, I'd probably go SMU.
SMU?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the 4 o'clock game is Clemson at Texas. Texas is minus 12. That's the 4 p.m. game.
Yeah, I like Texas by 2 touchdowns.
That was probably very difficult for you to pick Notre Dame, and I'm proud of you for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate Notre Dame with a fiery passion. I root against them even when I pick them. But there's nothing I hate about Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Like, the guy came into a spot.
They love him.
They love him.
Didn't they just extend them?
They should.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's it's so often that guy fails.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that replaces the huge personality that goes to his big job. And he had a couple rough losses. The Northern Illinois game this year, I thought, was, you know, over for him. But he got that team together, and he's done a phenomenal job. And he doesn't exude Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. He seems like a chill, very confident guy.
And here's your last game on Saturday night. Tennessee at Ohio State. Ohio State is minus 7.5.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
I think Tennessee, I mean, I'm rooting against Ohio State. Ryan Day is, it could get ugly. Like, if Tennessee, I don't know if you were watching the entire Ohio State-Michigan game, but, like, early in that game, the fan base was booing Ryan Day.
Yeah. Right.
Like, if they're losing in the first quarter,
right,
they might fire him at halftime.
Right.
But I also could see Ohio State's had the last, what, 3 weeks being told how bad they are.
Right.
They're at home. Are all these at home until the Final Four? Like, where does the
no,
next...
No. So the first round games...
Or, I'm sorry, are all these at college venues?
So, no, first round games, the higher seed gets the home game. And then the second round games, which are the teams with the bye, they then all play at specific bowl areas. So the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl will host Arizona and the winner of Clemson and Texas. The Rose Bowl will host Oregon and the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. The Fiesta Bowl, I believe that's in New Orleans, correct? No, where's the Fiesta Bowl?
That's in Tempe.
Tempe, oh, that's Arizona. They will host Boise State, will take on the winner of Penn State, SMU, and my team, the Bulldogs. They'll play in the Sugar Bowl. That is New Orleans, I believe,
yes.
Correct? And they'll play the winner of Notre Dame and Indiana. That's how... And then the final two venues are the Cotton Bowl and the Capital One Orange Bowl for the semifinals. That's right before the championship, correct?
Right.
And then the championship doesn't say where the championship is being played.
Well, we'll have time to get to there.
Oh, Mercedes
Atlanta.
Yeah, they're playing in Atlanta. So,
I am really happy that Greg's off today. I'm looking at the text line. Have we been playing commercials over this entire segment?
I have no clue.
It says commercials playing over your show. You're playing commercials. Anyone else hear commercials over the show? There's commercials over the show.
That is what's being reported. And Ken is running around this place like a chicken with his head cut off trying to figure it out.
All right. Well,
could be a little bit of a disadvantage for, and it'll be interesting to see how you pick next week. Like Arizona State is one of the teams with the bye, but they'll play the winner of Clemson and Texas in Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, which is Atlanta.
Right.
So almost more of a home field advantage for one of those teams than a team coming from Arizona
right.
to have to play in Atlanta.
I think this is going to look a lot different as the years go on. There's mm-hmm. going to be certain things that turn out to be massive advantages. They're going to iron this out. And I do think you're right. There are 12 now. They'll probably be at 24 in the next couple
That's
of years.
That's the way they should do it. Like the FCS, you know what? I talked about this earlier with Billy O. I could easily be the commissioner. The stupid rule about JUCO, you go to JUCO, you know, if I'm there 2 years, I got to lose 2 years of eligibility. If I'm there 1 year, I got to lose 1 year yeah. of eligibility. Because what's to say a kid doesn't go, you know what? I played 4 years in college. I now want to go to grad school. Why? I'm still in college. Why can't right. I now get more eligibility?
It's like Uncle Rico.
Yeah, because guess I want to be a doctor, and now I'm in grad school for another, I don't know, what's it, 2-3 years?
Sometimes more.
Yeah, so why couldn't a kid then sue and say, if I'm going to college, why can't I play college sports?
I love it. I don't know. That'll be interesting to figure it all out.
Should be a time limit.
I say, yeah, age range.
Well, you know, time limit of like...
Oh, yeah, like, so you can only serve 2 terms even if they're not consecutive.
Yeah, so you can only get 5 years of playing, and unless you get a season-ending injury, then it's like, okay, a medical red shirt, but it'd have to be like a serious season-ending injury.
Well, to everybody that listens, especially the Twitch chat, Merry Christmas,
Merry
Happy
Christmas,
Holidays.
Curtis.
Courtney, Wiggy, love you both.
Enjoy it. We'll see you next year.
See you next year. See you, Jack. Bye.
Merry Christmas, Curtis.
Bye-bye.